So the paradox of our sessions is the following. We've been discussing cutting-edge medicine. We've been discussing technologies that are really beyond the scope of everyday practice. And at the very same time, we also find ourselves with the clinical practice on a practical daily basis. People are resorting and reverting and turning away from medicine. So they're going back to essentially a complementary and alternative medicine. So they're relying on a form of therapy which is not necessarily keeping with the medical standards. So to discuss this important topic, we've invited Harava Yonason Binyamin Weiss to address it. Harava Binyamin Weiss is the chief rabbi of Montreal. He's the Abbasin of the rabbinical court here in Montreal as well. Rabbi Weiss is a native of the United States and served as a community rabbi in Bnei Brak in Israel for 35 years, and he moved back to Montreal in 2005. Rabbi Weiss is the author of the Naharai computerized database on Refuah and Halacha, and is an international expert in medical halacha, and in particular in the areas of end of life and infertility. It's truly a kavod to introduce Rabbi Weiss to address us this morning.
Shalom Aleichem to everyone. Today's talk will be about complementary and alternative medicine. The title includes two different groups, and there's a major difference between the two. Complementary medicine is a treatment which is used as an adjunct to standard treatment. It fills in areas where standard treatment cannot address. Whereas alternative refers to a treatment which replaces conventional and proven medical treatments. As we will see, there's a significant difference in halacha between these two definitions. Let's take a look at the sources. Verapo yarape, mikan shenitan reshut lerofe derapot. Now the question is, minikra rofe, umanikra refuah? The Torah has granted the doctor license to heal. And it's a separate topic, why only a license? Why isn't there a chuvah, an imperative to heal? But then the question is, who is qualified to be a doctor? And what constitutes healing? To quote Rabbi Steinberg in his encyclopedia, there are more than 150 types of treatments that are not recognized by conventional medicine. They can be grouped into three general categories. A is use of various substances, like homeopathy, aromatherapy, naturopathy. So these use various substances which weren't tested and approved. B is manipulation of body parts, like chiropractic, reflexology, and acupuncture. And the third group is energy or spiritual healing, some of which might involve idolatry, avodah zarah, and kishuv. Now let me make it clear that today's discussion is going to be only on the first two groups. Because when it comes to chashash of avodah zarah, Chazal already stated very clearly that even in a case of pikuach nefesh, all Isurim in the Torah are mutter except for avodah zarah. So, since some of these treatments are clearly based on spiritual healing which is sourced from avodah zarah, then this is definitely out of the question completely. The term used in halacha for unconventional medicine is refuah segulit. There's no real translation for the word segulit, but in general it means refuah, which is not based on conventional methods. So the source is a Mishnah in Yuma Pe Gimel Omed Aleph. Mish Achzoi Bomus, Machilin oisoi afilu dvorim tamayim ad she'ahuru einav. When a person is fasting on Yom Kippur and he's oisoi bulmis, means he's fainting or losing consciousness, which is normally explained as hypoglycemia, low blood sugar. So we're allowed to give him, we are supposed to, we're mechiyah to give him food or drink until he can be revived. Someone who was bitten by a wild dog, normally accepted meaning a rabid dog, rabies. We're not allowed to give him, the patient, the victim, to eat from the diaphragm of this dog. That's an interesting approach to treating rabies, which it's a bit similar to the vaccinations which are given now. So there's a machloekes. Is this allowed or not? Eating a piece of a dog, as everyone knows, it's forbidden according to the Jewish halacha, but Reb Batya Bar Harash was matir. The halacha is like Tanakama, that is not allowed. And Rashi explains, why isn't it allowed according to Tanakama? Ayin machilin mechatzar kaved shelo, ba'af al pi shenohagim arufim berufua zu. Although many doctors do apply this type of treatment, eina refua gmura, it's not considered as a real medication. Lahatir lo isur behimat mea alkach. Ramatya b'charash matir, kasavar refua gmura hi. So we have a machlokes here between two tanoim, and the halacha is like a tanakama, that this medication, which is employed by many doctors, is not allowed. Because we're dealing here with an isur, you're not allowed to eat dog meat. But on the other hand, maybe we're saving a life. No, it's not allowed even when saving a life, because it's not a real medication. So that's the first source of unconventional medicine not being allowed. So what is Rashi's opinion? Rashi seems to be using an interesting reasoning to explain this Mishnah. Rashi says, "Ayn nachil machatzer kavet shelo af pish noagin arfim berfuah zu eina rufuah gemura." A loose translation would be, although doctors prescribe this medication, it's not a genuine medication. So the question is, what constitutes a genuine medication? How do we define it and differentiate between a genuine medication and something which is not refuah gemura? It seems that Rashi's definition would mean a medication that has not yet been approved by the relevant authorities, even if it's being used by various practitioners. It stands to reason that experimental treatments would also be excluded. If they involve an isur, or their safety hasn't been established, they would be prohibited. So Rashi's definition seems to be to exclude experimental medication. The Rambam has a different approach. And let's go through the Rambam's explanation of the Mishnah. Ein halakha k'reb matya ben harash, mipnei, the Rambam in Perasha Mishnah, she'eino moil elu b'derech skula. It only works in a skula fashion. We don't know why. Rutza Leimer explains the Rambam, b'dvorim hamrapim b'd... I skipped the line. We have a amrim ein avrim al mitzvah elu b'refuah b'lbad. The Chachamim hold that the only manner where we're allowed to use medications when it involves an isser is only when we're dealing with medication. Rutsa loimer, bedvurim hamarapim b'teva. Substances that have natural, heal naturally. Vuhu davar amiti hoitziu hadaz v'anisayon hakarov le'emet. That has, it's logical and it's been experimented. אבל להתרפות בדברים שהם מרפים בסגולתן אסור, כי כוחם חלוש, אינו מצד הדעת וניסיונו רחוק. Three arguments against using unconventional medications. כוחם חלש, חלוש, it doesn't really have an effect. אינו מצד הדעת, there's no logical explanation why it should work. And the third argument is ניסיונו רחוק. The experimentation wasn't done. והיא טענה חלושה מן התואר. This is derived from people who are mistaken. וזה העיקר, דאהו וזוכרהו. Remember it and understand it, says the Rambam. כי הוא עיקר גדול. It's a very strong and important principle. So the Rambam's criteria, the Rambam establishes clear criteria. A, there has to be scientific rationale for the efficacy of the treatment. Why should it work? B, real and reliable trials have been performed that have proven desired results. And this is what is called today evidence-based medicine. Refuah Segulit does not fit the tab because A, there's no rationale behind them, and B, they have not undergone rigorous scientific testing. So it sounds familiar. Homeopathy, this is totally irrational. No one understands how that works. And I believe we all agree that there was never real rigorous testing done on it. So according to the Rambam, this is considered refuah segulit and not conventional medicine. At first glance, it seems that the Rambam's opinion is that any medical method, not based on either scientific theory and logic or on proper empirical knowledge, is prohibited. But the Radbaz explains it differently. He argues that the Rambam fully agreed that unproven methods can be employed, but only when there is no isser involved. The rule of pikuach nefesh, overriding all isurim, only applies to proven and logical medications. So this is a very important point, which we'll get back to later on. The Rambam doesn't disallow unconventional medicine. All he's saying is that if you want to use the medication when there's an isser involved, and you have to use the rule of pikuach nefesh doche kol isur, so what can we do to save a life? What you can do is use conventional medicine. But you cannot use unconventional medicines to be over, to save lives when you're over an isser, when it involves an isser. It should be noted that there are Rishonim that partially disagree with the Rambam. The Rashba, the Ramban, and the Ra'a, the Rabbein Aaron Halevi, all held that even refuah segulit can be considered as conventional if their efficacy has been proven. Scientific rationale is not a prerequisite to allow the medication to override an isser. The Rambam put two criteria into place, rationale and experimentation. And the other Rishonim say that rationale is not that important. The real thing is if it has been proven. But even according to their opinion, these medications or treatments must have undergone proper experimentation to consider them as conventional. Yet another definition to define conventional medicine. And I'm going to quote here a Sif in Shulchan Aruch, Yerodaya Semen Kuf Nun Hei Sif Kemo. Kol chole shemachil en loy isur, every chole that we have to feed him something which is forbidden, tzrichim shetei harufai yedua o alpi mumche. It has to be refuah yedua. It's a different term than what Rashi used. Rashi used refuah gemura, and here the Shulchan Aruch is using refuah yedua. The same term is used by the Mogen Avraham in Simen Shin Kuf Ches l'inyan chilul Shabbat l'tzorech oleh. The Dvarav Hugu and the Poskim bring down the Shulchan Aruch. Nebir Agru explains what is the source of the Mogen Avraham. V'chein refuah yedua k'mo shekasuf b'mishnah b'noshcho chelut kelev shoteh. So the Guru says that the basis of that we need a refuah yedua is the same basis of Rashi when Rashi talks about refuah gemura. So what does Refuah Yidua mean? A translation of the term Refuah Yidua would be a known medication. Known to whom? Who has to be that one that knows that this medication works? There's an interesting tshuva in Nahare Afar Simon, one of the Poskim, and he has a very interesting explanation on the term a known medication. He writes as follows. Masha ketuv shatzarik shetia refua yidua in a kavana ela shalo lismoch al kol hediot haba v'omer shiitnu lachole refua plonit v'yitrape. It doesn't mean to negate if any person from the street comes forward and says, take this substance, it works, I know it works. It's a given that we can't take a person's word for it, it's only a single person. What is he arguing? He saw someone, he saw someone who had a similar affliction. Like the people that, this is gossip. That person also, my neighbor had something similar and he took this concoction and it worked. This is a given that this is not something we can take into account. Has to be public knowledge. Experts. If the experts have determined that this medication is efficient and it works, that is considered refuah yidua. We have other Rishonim. The Meiri says, why can't we allow eating of the chatzar hakaved, the diaphragm from that rabid dog? It's not a medication at all. Although many people do it. It's not a medication at all. The other Rishonim used no medication, this medication, this type of. No, it's not a medication at all. So the Rav Osner Zatzal in Shevet HaLevi explains that the Meiri's kavona was shehaisur letanakam mepnei shebe'emet eino refuah klal. Afu pi shehamon nagu bo v'adedzei mashkit k'tzat pachat hachule u'mashpir gam amatzav ruho ha'agum. It helps because it quiets down the patient. The patient feels like he's doing something. שאין ספק שהוא חלק נגבד ברפואה המחלות, בכל מקום כיוון שלעצם המחלה אין רפואה וכך אין להעביר איסורים. He is alluding to the placebo effect. And many times that's the argument used by homeopathy and the other these type of treatments, that a placebo effect is also sometimes effective in when it comes to seeing results. So what is, according to these Rishonim we went through now, what is the definition of conventional medication? According to the Rambam, it has undergone rigorous scientific testing and has scientific rationale. According to Rashi, conventional means a genuine medication, which is not experimental. According to the Ramu, a known medication approved by relevant authorities. And according to the Meiri, it has to be a medication that heals and not a placebo. Now getting back to what I mentioned before, the Achronim explained that even according to the Rambam, which spoke out very strongly against unconventional medications, it's only when we're dealing with an issue. We're not allowed to be feeding the choyle something which is osur, or mechalel Shabbat for the patient, elu berfuat tivit v'lo al derech skula. Aval kishein berfuat al isu, mutan litropot, avhech shein harufa yidua, o berfuat skulit. Unconventional medication is not forbidden in halacha when we're not dealing with an isur. We should add that when the unconventional treatment is being used as an alternative therapy, ignoring the doctor's advice and thereby endangering the patient, it's also an iser, and thus disallowed, even according to the Rambam. So what still needs explanation is why isn't unconventional therapy considered at least as safek pikuach nefesh, which also overrides the Osorotoy? Is it less than a safek? Okay, it's not approved. It hasn't been tested. It's not known, but maybe it's going to work. And if it's a maybe, if there's a safek, it might work. So we're dealing with it, a danger to life. And when even if there's a remote chance that a person's life can be saved, we're allowed to be mechallel Shabbat. So why can't I be mechallel Shabbat for homeopathy? Why is it different than other conventional treatments where there's a very remote chance that the patient can be saved? Here's an interesting explanation. The Sefer Torah Shabbat and Simin Shin Kofes. Kavanat Harama, the Tzurich Shitei Rufa Yidua. What is the rationale behind this ruling that you cannot be Mechalel Shabbat if it's not the Rufa Yidua? Hainu, what does it mean? She Yidua Shadavar Zei Tov Lerapot Bo HaMachala Hazot. It has to be known, it has to be proven that this medication or this therapy is useful for this condition. Dim lo kein, if it hasn't been tested for this condition, chashvin elei kerov advarim shebaolam she'enam tovim lerapot bo haholi. You can't just think up things that maybe it's going to work, like throw a stone and maybe it's going to hit the target. You don't know. So this, like any other substance, if it hasn't been tested and paired with the condition we're dealing with, this is not even begeder safek. Aval im noda shadavar zeh tov lerapot haholi hazeh. Af she'eno yidua b'idea vada'it shadavar zeh merapeh vada'it mutar mitzav safek. So what he's saying is that we need some evidence to pair this therapy or this medication with this condition. And then we can say, although there's a doubt if it's going to work in this scenario, we have to do it and we're allowed to do it. But if it's just guesswork, you just go to the medicine cabinet to pick something out and maybe it's going to work, this is not the gather safek. You can always say, in statistically, one in a million it might work. Well, that's not the gather safek. And there has to be some rationale, some testimony that this medication works with this condition in order to allow it, even when there's a remote chance that he might be saved. In other words, when dealing with an iser, a medication can be used only when its efficacy has been established for the specific ailment being treated. In that case, even when there's a safek, if it will help, it's also allowed. But when it hasn't been tested yet for this particular condition, then it isn't different than any other unknown substance and not even considered safek. So here's a dilemma I want to pose. According to this approach, even when medication is approved, it's still considered experimental if it hasn't been approved for this specific condition. Use of such a medication would be disallowed when an insert is involved. The same would apply when its use might harm the patient. So let's take a look at a situation called off-label drug use. And this is a report I'm quoting from the Canadian Senate Committee on Prescription Pharmaceuticals in Canada in January 2014. The prescribing of drugs by health professionals is a practice of medicine issue, and it's not subject to federal oversight. Once approved for sale in this country by Health Canada, drugs can be prescribed to whomever, for whatever purpose, and the dosage that is determined by the health professional to be in the best interest of their patient. So the government does not control how medical health professionals prescribe the drugs. In the final report in March 2015, they wrote, "While the committee acknowledges the benefits of some off-label prescription drug use, it cautioned that in other instances, a lack of evidence of effectiveness can mean that patients are consuming drugs that are not helping or are causing harm or both. So here's some chomer lemachshava, food for thought. Why is it then that physicians prescribe approved medications for conditions that weren't tested for their efficacy and safety? Although the medication was certified, it's still experimental for this condition and or for this patient or for this subgroup of patients. Just because the physician is licensed and the medication is listed does not change its status, especially so if there's an issue involved or it's being used as an alternative treatment. There's a Mamre Chazal saying, a free translation is, before giving musar to others, there's some room for introspection. And we meaning both Rabbonim and medical professionals are so critical about unconventional medications, there is a certain element of unconventionality in off-label